We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
It's not only that people go and go to these stores, it's also, right, they like the experience of interacting with our staff, being in the building. It's also a piece of entertainment that it has become.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. As the world of retail is transforming at a rate faster than we've ever seen, the National Retail Federation's virtual event, NRF 2021, Retail's Big Show Chapter 1, will provide the talks, tech, and talent of tomorrow to propel the retail industry forward. This year, COVID-19 taught us that the customer experience of the future requires connection, personalization, and most importantly, safety. Suit Supply, the global men's tailoring brand built on a radically personal customer experience, is reinventing retail with new in-store safe shopping and virtual pre-shopping. Founder and CEO, Volker Dijon, is speaking at NRF 21 about reinventing the shopper journey to meet customers where and how they want to shop. Welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thank you, Bill, and nice being here.
And when I say welcome from Amsterdam to Retail Gets Real. So we're really excited that you could be with us. And I think that the exciting part of this program is that I get to do it with my co-host, my colleague, and my friend, Susan Retta. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. Have you got any snow yet?
No.
Are you expecting
beautiful day
to?
In New York. No, nothing predicted. It's cold, but glorious sun.
Right.
I'll take it.
And you can keep it.
People were actually expecting snow because I got on the phone with my team there in New York and they're all almost sold out of outerwear. So somebody is expecting some some bad weather there.
Perhaps I should check out my weather app. But, you know, this work from home thing, I just stay where I am. So, but good news on the outerwear.
Yeah, that's great. People obviously knowing that it's coming, and it usually does, and usually when you least expect it, and usually in a way that you don't want to see it. So, Volker, tell us a little bit about your journey. It is an extraordinary story, starting, you know, when you were very young, and yet you had the foresight to not only build this brand, but to really revolutionize how you work with the consumer. Tell us about that.
Well, I think we started in 2000, almost 20 years ago, as an online brand, right? Selling quality men's tailoring and products. And we quickly found out that people not only want internet, but they also want to have the personal experience there for advice and style advice. And we added stores to our journey. But our stores almost went into strange destination locations. So people were exploring our collections on the internet and then combined that with physical shopping. And so we were omni-channel before the word omni-channel was even invented.
Did I read that you started this in a dorm room?
Yeah, I started in college selling suits to my fellow fraternity buddies. Yeah, I started with a few $100 and basically built a business from there.
So when you think about that journey, I mean, 20 plus years ago, it was entirely different. I mean, the internet was entirely different. How people shop was entirely different. You had to have a vision. Was your vision, okay, we're going to start online, then go in store? Or was it all, we're going to go online and we're going to see how this rolls? Or did you know we're going to have to go to store?
Well, Bill, to be honest, it's always great. You know, you normally always can talk about the vision afterwards easier than right? This is typically something.
Always 2020.
It's always, yeah. So we wanted to be in the internet because that was the biggest thing and still is, right? So, and it would have been easier, we thought, just to be online, but to have that personal and experience, especially for a product like ours, was just indispensable. So yes, we had a vision of using online and to go and sell products, but we quickly were forced to rethink that journey with offline. The only really simple thing we actually did is not go where all those other brands were and go between all the usual suspects and go on expensive shopping streets, et cetera, but really connect to customers online and then finish their journey or enhance it offline. So that's why we have some great examples in the U.S. stores on a great rooftop in Chicago or a mansion in Old Greenwich, where there's actually not a single store around, but people go there, go to a cool space, have an amazing experience, meet well-educated, well-trained style advisors, but also hang out on the roof and enjoy a drink. And we can all do that because that sounds crazy expensive if I tell you that. But because these locations are not on Fifth Avenue, right? You can do it also for our business model works. And it actually helps us in COVID because obviously our business is probably one of the most impacted businesses. You look at, I mean, we sell stuff that people need if they, you know, have meetings, presentations, special occasions, weddings, you know, if they go out, have a date, want to show up, look nice. This is something that we do a little less if we're in lockdown. So it also, the way our business is structured, actually from a P&L point of view, helps us to get through COVID pretty good. And we actually added, in the middle of COVID, had a great opportunity to add two floors into our Soho business because we were like, okay, we're, you know, everybody was boarding up their stores in Soho. And we, at that time, we said, okay, let's start construction. And we added two floors and a fantastic rooftop on our store in Soho, where people go now, come in the store, hang out, enjoy a drink. So the hospitality bit of our businesses has grown over the years because it's not only that people go to these stores because otherwise they're going to be naked or cold. It's also, right, they like the experience of interacting with our staff, being in the building. It's also a piece of entertainment that it has become.
Mm-hmm. How many stores do you have, Volker, in internationally?
A little under 150.
150 stores. And the countries that you serve, everything from Asia, North America.
Yeah, we're from
Europe.
Sydney to Toronto. So we're in Asia, we're in China, we're in South Korea, we're all everywhere in Europe, we're everywhere in North America, mostly in the bigger metropolitan areas. So we've also seen this whole COVID wave and have a pretty good sense of how this plane is going to land, right? How this dust is going to settle, because, you know, China is obviously in a different part and a different phase of this curve. So is South Korea. We also see Sydney now going back to normal. And I think, you know, what I found that every time you read the newspapers, it depends on where you are in the world. I mean, if you currently read the newspapers here in Europe, then everything is going to be different after COVID. It's all big changes and radical movement, all that kind of stuff. I have to say that life in these countries where things are more or less back to normal, it's not, okay, some things have changed and some changes that were already in the move and on the move have propelled forward.
Well, I mean, you heard for the first several months, everybody always talked about, you know, writing the new normal. I don't know what a new normal is until you get to the new part of it. I think that, to your point, you know, things are going to change. Things have changed. I think the way people view family, friends, community, you know, the freedoms that they enjoy that they don't necessarily enjoy today because of the virus are going to not take them for granted as much anymore. But in terms of the experience, the shopping experience, in terms of feeling good about yourself, dressing up, doing the thing, going out, people want to get back to that. And we've already seen that. And that's probably why we're having some of the problems that we're having in the United States right now, which is people are just, it's fatigue. They just want to have that touch point with the past and are too anxious just to sit around and wait for the future. So it's created some problems.
You know, I'm interested to hear what trends you're seeing as people return and start buying. And then I want you to touch on how much your blood boils when you read in traditional media that we're never going to part with our sweatpants again.
Well, I think there's a, it's not my blood boils because we're already seeing what's happening, right, in all these other parts of the world. And of course, right, I mean, showing up, dressing up, or whatever, has nothing to do. It's something that's in our genes, right? If it's for a date or a meeting or whatever, you wanna, there's a natural inclination for us to look and show up, so and look good. And what we see, of course, is that there's sort of this transition between, you know, going from extremely casual, right, to, you know, your sweatpants and all that kind of stuff, with a full three-piece, you know, two-piece suit. I mean, there's sort of this thing in between. So what we normally see happening is then people go in their sweatpants to the office, and that looks really strange in combination with the furniture, right? It suddenly looks, right? It's like everybody went into the office on a Saturday afternoon just to pick up the mail or something, right? It looks messy, and it's never going to happen. And then, okay, so there's this hybrid form that's currently exist, which was already happening, right? Which means, you know, we call it all kinds of ways, elevated casual or whatever. We say everything that has a jacket on, but it's this whole more different way of styling a more elegant look, right? It's not only a blue suit with a white shirt, which is extremely easy for guys to put together. So now, it's suddenly a jacket and a pants and a sweater or a turtleneck or a shirt or, you know, and then you can do cotton pants, woolen pants, maybe a tailored jeans, and you can wear 15 types of shoes under there. So what happens, it becomes complicated, right? People always think that casual to look, you know, well put together and presentable, but a little bit more, let's say, in the sports coat and all that kind of stuff, it's suddenly easier. I don't know, guys find that harder. So at the end of the day, what happens is, what do they turn to is service and style advice, right? You cannot ask an Amazon speaker to do that for you, right? So that's one of the reasons why we have introduced and made available the style advice that we have in the store, also make it available quickly and easy online for people to virtual shop, to set up a prepared fitting room, if they want to go and come back to the store. All these kind of things is because, yes, they want to dress up again and they want to look good again. That's going to happen, right? We all know that's just a force of nature. It's gravity. But to do it in this whole period before, you know, between going from a very casual look to a period in between, which a lot of people are currently now experimenting with, but also finding that harder to do. And I think we're perfectly positioned to help them crack that code.
I am so tired of everybody looking like George Costanza.
I have to tell you, I mean, it's crazy what's happening, right? And we see people, and it's funny, right? I mean, calls on Zoom calls already with our banks and stuff, and we get, you know, all our partners, and then you see some people that are sort of coming back to life again and are in the office half there and wear a shirt and they're shaved. And then you have guys that have been sitting at home for 6 months and the first month was okay. And then, I mean, they went completely through the ice. It's like, I mean, we have to send somebody in there. Their beard is long. And it's normal, right? At some point you lose, if you stay in, this is feng shui. If you stay in your house all the time, there's no change, et cetera, then your energy starts dropping and dropping, et cetera. And then there's, these things are normal. It's going to happen. So that's why it's also a natural and healthy thing that we're going to start, at least for some part, changing our behaviors between home and work. And with that, also our dress behaviors are going to go in a different direction, some way or form, because we just simply need it.
We do.
So interesting, because I really make a point. I've never put on or worked in a pair of sweatpants. I get up and I have my routine, and it's the same routine I had March the 12th. The difference is I'm not getting in my car and driving to the office. Yes, a little bit more casual, but you know, a collared shirt, rarely wear a t-shirt. Because I feel like if I had done that, if I'd gone to that extreme, it would be very hard going back. And I knew I would have to go back. Now the big conundrum is, can I fit in that suit that I used to wear all the time? So I may be visiting you all sooner rather than later, as soon as this vaccine is done, and we can actually go back to the office. Yeah. So let me ask a quick question. So, I'm thinking about international. You have your style advisors. You know, somebody that's getting a suit in South Korea has a different perception of what they're looking for. I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. They have a different style. I don't want to say guide, but the way that they look at it versus somebody in Toronto versus somebody in Buenos Aires. Mm-hmm. I mean, so how do you train people I just don't know how you account for all of that. How do you train the people? How do you have the inventory to met? Is it all separate according to region? Is it separate according to country?
I think this is the power, the other thing that the internet has done, right? It's made tastes and how people look at stuff more alike than you would think, right? We are all looking at Instagram, right? I mean, maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you would look, I don't know, to some other guys in your office and what they would dress, right? Or maybe there would be a magazine or a GQ or something, right? Now on Instagram, there's you see maybe 1,000 pictures a day. So these influences are actually, you know, pretty alike, similar for that person in South Korea or in that person in Toronto, right? They're more alike than there are different in at least have become in the last 10, 15 years. Now, there are differences because depending on, you know, people's complexion, hair, color of the eyes, all that kind of stuff. I cannot wear too much bright colors, but somebody in Korea or China, they like to play around with bold checks and et cetera because they have a different complexion and they're a little bit more experimental in style. But that's a smaller part of our collection or inventory. Yeah, I think we are internationally more alike than we are different.
Very interesting. We get accused in D.C. of being, we're just a couple hours, sell a train ride from New York City, yet they would say that the style, men's style, is dramatically different in Washington than it is in New York. And yet, you know, we're almost neighbors. But at the same time, mm-hmm. you know, to your point, if you're going to wear a suit with a tie, it's going to be somewhat the same. It's just the combinations that you do, the colors that you choose, it's the person, it's their position, it's what they're comfortable with. And that is, I'm sure, a challenge no matter where you are, Chicago or LA or Sydney.
Yeah. Well, and I think what we deal with, what we have is a program which helps us to differentiate a lot. And we work on, I think we're unique in that. We have our custom-made program. So I think we show a lot of different styles, but you can vary a lot. And that's what our style advisor within those styles and almost make your own suit and have it ready in 2 or 3 weeks. And it's completely fitted for you. It's completely made for you. And a lot of guys that want to experiment with style, especially with the technology we have currently, are really embracing that.
I feel as though you are a pioneer when it comes to customization and personalization. I talk to so many retailers who are trying this out, and a monogram is not a personalization. You've really taken this to a whole different level. And I wonder, was that part of the vision from the very earliest days to offer that personalization piece?
Yes, we've always had, one of the first things when we opened a store next to Milan, we had our tailors in the front and center of our stores, sort of to, of course, highlight this customization piece that we've always been doing, but also to highlight the fastness and the ease and the current pace which we're doing this with. So on one hand, it's combining old world craftsmanship with new world's fastness and speed, right? And I think now what we are seeing is that adds another thing to it. It's with the sustainability part that's coming more and more important. And I think we've been a CSR leader already for 7-8 years. And it's not only because we use the best materials and have very well-run factories and are completely carbon neutral already, not now, from sheep to shop, everything is carbon neutral.
Fantastic.
But also, I think, because people, when they are really investing in a piece, designing it with their style advisor, and it's a perfect fit for them, it's a piece that they actually really connect to, right? I have one or two jackets that I always like to wear every day because they're perfect fit. They're my style. They're my size. So I don't throw them away and I don't buy something else anymore. So there's nothing more sustainable than that.
Excellent point.
That's a great way to look at it. It's so funny that you even mentioned that because I was just looking at a shirt that I threw into the laundry and I was like, God, I have had that shirt for probably... Well, you were probably just starting to sell suits in college when I bought that shirt. And it's, you know, it's still wearable and it's still comfortable and I enjoy wearing it. And it's amazing to me. I mean, when you think about sustainability, you ask 10 retailers what sustainable, you know, what is sustainability? Some will go environmental, some will go to labor, some will go to manufacturing. But I don't know that I ever thought of the fact that if you buy something that you really like, you're going to keep it and you're going to keep it for a long time. And that is a sustainable program. That's pretty amazing.
I was going to ask you what the playbook looks like for 2021. You've already got a plan in place. What's the big goals? Is it opening more stores?
I think what our challenge is that we know that demand will start accelerating and come back because we've seen that across other countries. But for the US and Europe, we only don't know when it's going to happen, right? So it could be 3 months, could be 6 months, could be 12 months, right? I don't know. We all have our playbooks there. We don't mind whatever it is. So our goal is because service and training of people is so important for us, right? And of course, like many, we had to let go of some people like a half a year ago, 8 months ago, unfortunately. And some of these people we've kept in close contact with. But of course, and luckily for them, they've also found new jobs. So if we have to rehire, and I think we will, then we have to be able to train these people and scale up, et cetera. So what we've been doing, and this is a hard thing to do, right? Because it could be fast, it could be slower, et cetera. We don't know what exactly the playbook is. We know it's going to be somewhere around there. So what we've been doing is training and training and training. Where governments say test, 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 we are currently saying train, train, train. So we are spending a lot of time with all our stores, that there's a trainer that can train other people in our stores to expand our training capacity that we would normally have centrally in our suit school, one we have in Europe, one in the US, et cetera. But to also have it dispersed so that we can scale up training and hiring if we need to.
When somebody wants to work in doing this kind of experiential retail, what are you looking for in your stylists and the people that work in your stores?
Well, it's great. We say radically personal, and then we talk about all kinds of technology, how to connect. But at the end of the day, right? If you want to have people to connect to somebody that's personal, you got to have personality, right? So there's no point in going to, you know, vanilla cookie cutter personalities because that's not engaging, unfortunately. So we are looking, and that's also why our brand mantra is don't just fit in, find your own perfect fit. We're looking for personalities. People that like to connect with people, but are also interesting, right? Or also, you know, fun and engaging and have energy to be with. I mean, that's what you look for if you go into a store. So I think it's not so much skills. We can learn skills, right? But the other stuff, we always say we cannot learn. We have to find these people. It's something their family, their moms and dads, have taken care of that. We cannot redo that. We have to find these people. And that's what we are. I mean, I'm still seeing all the people that we hire. It doesn't matter if it's a salesperson or a manager over all our 150 stores. So not every interview, but whenever there's a new hiring group or a new team of people, and they always come together in our shoot school. I always spend half a day or sometimes over video, but most of the time in reality, and to spend some time with them and to get to know them. And of course, inherently, that raises the bar within our business of these managers that bring people to our or to our suit school. Yeah, they want to find really, really talented, good people with a personality that people want to connect to.
Well, I know that we're running close on time because I'm getting the high sign. I'm just one last question. We have a lot of students that listen to this program. And I know that when you speak at NRF 2021, that you're going to be talking to a lot of highly successful business people and people in executive positions and management, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But for a student who wants to do what you have done, create a business in retail, what advice would you give them just to think about before they actually start that process?
Well, don't think too much. Just start doing
it. It's kind of my mantra in life. Don't think about it too much.
Yeah. No, it's not a job. I mean, of course, you got to make a little bit of a plan and some concept, whatever, but start moving is probably the best way to get to test your idea and to get the experience. And you're going to, my girlfriend always says, you have the talent to step into pilots and grow mushrooms. And I think that's sometimes what you do as an entrepreneur.
I think I'll remember that one. All right. So if you've never listened to our program before, then you probably don't know what's coming next. And so before we go, we have a segment. It's called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire. Thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
So don't panic. It's not bad. It's basically, we're going to ask you a question and we want you to answer with the first thing that comes to mind. We don't want you to think about it too much. So Susan, start us off.
All right. What's your favorite rock band?
Queen.
Ah, very good. What is the one thing that is always in the Dijon refrigerator?
Nothing.
Nothing? You don't refrigerate?
I have a refrigerator, but always when I open it, it's empty. Right? I forgot to do groceries or whatever. There's always like, and it's actually good, but because I'll probably eat everything which is in there.
That's good. Yeah.
All right. Is there one food that you will never eat?
Yeah, I mean, no. Basically, no. No. If I'm hungry, I'll eat everything. I'm picky. To say never is a big thing, right?
I mean, yeah. What was the last movie you saw?
I'm trying to finish The Crown. It's not even a movie, right? It's a series.
Yeah, it's funny because I was just going to ask you what you're binge watching.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is I'm very pretty impatient stuff. So if I start reading a book, I tend to start beginning always on the end of the book, right? And then they're back. And nobody can ever watch a movie with me or finish because I start fast forwarding it. You know, this button that you can go 10, 15, 20 minutes. And which I had at The Crown, the first few segments, I was like, yeah, that's interesting. And then you always have like, you know, I'm sort of know where this is going to go. And then you start fast forwarding and people hate to watch a series or a movie.
I just started one, Susan. It's called The Bodyguard. Have you heard of that one, The Bodyguard?
No.
It's getting
better.
We just
finished The Queen's Gambit and that was good.
I heard that really good.
Very good.
All right, yeah. Susan, you get the last question.
Last question. What was the last purchase you made?
A projector for to watch a movie with my kids, actually, and they hated it to watch with me movies too, so we never used it.
Dad.
It was an holiday.
Oh, that's awesome. So
we also bought some kite stuff that which we enjoyed.
That's great.
For surfing. Yeah.
Wow.
Can we do kite surfing here?
Yeah, they do kite surfing where I am. I'm actually in Florida right now. And the amount of, you know, work that you have to do. I looked at that the other day and I was like, I would be sore. I would probably be in traction after trying that for 10 minutes.
It's pretty easy.
I don't know. It looks like you use every single muscle in your body.
No, I was at a little while ago on South Beach. I'm getting old out there with my gear. And then there's a 75-year guy next to me blowing up his kite gear. And I'm like, oh, haven't been doing as long. He said, no, I just started a year ago. And
so there's hope for me.
And it's a pretty hard place to kite because you have all these buildings and et cetera. So the wind drops and all that kind of stuff. And he just goes out there and he's gone. Right. So, and I felt like I was like really, really sporty, cool guy and all that kind of stuff. And if this 75 year guy, so I was like, okay. So if he can do it, we can all do it.
I might have to give it a try because it does look like fun. So, Fogel, if people want to learn more about Suit Supply, where should they go on the web?
Oh, suitsupply.com. And there you have a lot. And there's a, and if you Google us, you'll find all kinds of interviews and stuff and learn more about me. I think there's some other podcasts next to yours one now that can give them some background.
That's great. Fogel DeJong, thank you very much for your time. We really look forward to your presentation at NRF 2021. And we really look forward to getting back to the normal that we all enjoy and dressing up and looking good again. It's possible.
All right, Bill.
Susan, thank you so much for your time. We really enjoy doing this with you, and we can't do it enough. I appreciate your taking time out of your busy day, because I know you're really busy with NRF 2021 coming up.
We are getting ready for Big Show, but thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure.
And thank all of you all out there for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's discussion and more at nrf.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. As we say in this time of COVID, be safe, be well, and we'll see you next time. Thanks again.